So with that, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And would you just ask that God, through His Spirit, would speak to you tonight? Would you ask Him to help you see Jesus more clearly tonight? And would you pray to the person on your right or left that God would work in such a way that their lives are changed tonight because of what Jesus has done for us? Father God, I ask that now in this time that we have together, that you would help the words that I have to be encouraging, to be beneficial. And God, most importantly, that as we talk about your word, that your Spirit would take these thoughts and these words and these ideas from our heads into our hearts. God, that we are changed. God, that we would love Jesus more than when we did when we came in here tonight. So God, we need your Spirit to do that. So it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So tonight we're going to be talking about treasure and what the greatest treasure in our life must be and how it is worth giving everything up in order to have this one treasure. Now, one of my greatest treasures in high school was my guitar. All right, I saved for months and months to be able to have. The only thing that has changed about me is I don't wear white socks anymore. That's about it. And I didn't have much hair there either. I saved for months and months to be able to have a new guitar. I sacrificed, I worked, I cut off spending to whatever other dumb stuff I used to purchase with my money. I was singularly focused on getting this guitar. I sacrificed, and it paid off the day that I was able to go to the music store and purchase my new red Gibson SG electric guitar. I was finally able to upgrade from the piece of junk, like $100 rip-off guitar that I had before that, like, you know, on certain frets would not be in tune. It just sounded terrible all the time. I finally was able to upgrade to this guitar. So much so that I found it enough of a treasure to include in my senior photo there. So that was my senior photo, not my eighth grade photo, all right? Not only did I treasure my guitar, but I treasured what it could help me do. It helped me to create music. It helped me to be able to express the things that I wanted to express. It helped me also to find a community of people of similar interests, people who were passionate about what I was passionate about. I found a place where I really enjoyed creating, and I was able to do it with people who also had a passion for that. And deep down, that is what I really treasured, was creating and doing it with a team of other people. That gave me joy to be able to do that. And we all have things that we treasure, and tonight we'll see that Jesus and His kingdom must be the one thing above all other things that we are to treasure. So I'm going to read a parable, just a short parable that you'll discuss in your small groups tonight. Jesus is describing to us what the kingdom of heaven is like, what it's going to be like. Jesus came to this earth to bring a kingdom. And so he describes it in different and unique ways. And this is just one way that he describes it. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. We're going to talk about this under three headings tonight. Search for joy, empty joy, and true joy. Search for joy, empty joy, and true joy. So first, searching for joy. Now, what I didn't mention to you about my guitar is that it now sits, sadly enough, in a closet inside of a hot pink lined case, kind of like a coffin for my past dreams and passions, all right? It doesn't come out as often as it used to because our desires, our treasures, the things that we have a passion for change all of the time. You've already experienced this. Some of you don't play with Legos or Barbies anymore. Some of you might still, and you know, that's okay. But our passions, our treasures change. So here's something more recent that I find myself treasuring. This past summer, I was able, was fortunate enough to be able to take a family vacation out west. I treasure my family, and I treasure taking my family on adventures to different places as often as we can. It's a little difficult with young kids to make road trips or fly anywhere, but I treasure that. I also treasure the West for one reason, mountains, and that's about it. And if we go far enough, we get to the ocean. But I treasure the West for mountains. How many of you love mountains? All right? So, just the thought of being able to travel out west, the weeks, months leading up to this trip, it brought me joy just thinking about being in the mountains again with my family. So we packed up our van and we drove through some of the worst country in America. The middle of Minnesota, North Dakota, and eastern Montana is some of the most barren land, at least in the north, all right? And so I just was like, let's just get through this as quick as possible. We got to middle of Montana, stayed in a hotel, and we had planned the next morning we were going to wake up and we were going to do our first mountain pass towards our final destination in Bozeman, all right? So we woke up that morning in the foothills of the mountains. We're pumped. We're ready to go, and it is cloudy. It is raining. It is foggy. We can't even see the mountains that we had been able to see in the distance the night before. So I'm a bit devastated, angry, a little bit surly about the fact that we might not get to see the mountains. But we were like, well, let's just go and see what we can do. So we charged ahead. We started zigzagging up the switchbacks, climbing higher and higher in elevation. And as we got higher and higher, we got finally to the Beartooth Pass summit. And as you can see, there are no clouds. Well, there's some clouds, but the fog dissipated, the rain went away, and we were able to see the beauty and the majesty of God's creation up in the mountains. And man, we just loved it, enjoyed it. My daughter, Tally, as she was telling Grandpa and Grandma in Bozeman, her first experience in the mountains, she's like, Nana, when I saw the mountains, she's like, my eyes did this, and she just like, she's like, that was the face. That, like, her little four-year-old brain can see the beauty and the majesty of God in the mountains. I didn't have to teach her that. She can just see it. Like, we live in flatland. Here's mountains. This is incredible. And so we all have things that we treasure. We all are searching for something to give us ultimate joy, like vacations or family or traveling and seeing beautiful things that we don't get to see all the time. We also are searching for joy in the friendships we choose and also the people that we avoid. We're searching for joy. We're also searching for joy in the entertainment we watch or that which we're just like, that's boring. I don't want anything to do with that. The social media that we participate in and the Facebook that is no longer relevant to us, all right? We also are searching for joy in the food we eat, the movies we watch, the music we listen to. We are looking for something to make joy last in our lives. Something to get us through the life that feels monotonous at times, boring at times, and also sometimes life is quite painful. And so we're trying to find something to fill that, which leads me to the second point, which is empty joy. The problem is that nothing in this creation can ever satisfy the deepest longings that we have for joy. And this problem started all the way back at the beginning of time. If we go back to Genesis, which we're not going to go there tonight, but God created everything good and perfect and satisfying. And if we just pause for a minute, everything was as it should be. It was perfect. There has never been any greater joy in human history than Adam and Eve had when they were in the presence of God, enjoying His good creation. But we know that ended as sin came into the world. Adam and Eve disobeyed. They chose to believe a lie. They chose to believe that God was not good, that He was holding something back from them. And so they made themselves God, and they decided, we know what's best, and they ate. And ever since, the world has experienced the effects of sin. Ever since then, we have only experienced suffering and pain and toil and frustration in our work and bad grades and brains that don't work because we don't sleep well. And we experience God's judgment. And the end of this is experiencing death. But we know that that is not the end of the story. God has had a plan all along to bring us back to the garden, to bring us back to a right relationship with Him where everything is good and perfect. But before we get there, I just want to help us see how our sin actually works itself out. What does sin really look like in our everyday lives? Because sin isn't just the breaking of a rule. And unfortunately, many of us have grown up in churches or in families that have taught us that sin is just breaking a commandment, breaking a rule, and that's not all that sin is. Sin is much trickier than that. It's much harder to define, but the Bible helps us in that it defines sin as idolatry. And idolatry, let me define it this way, is when we treasure something good in creation and yet we elevate it to the position of God. All right? So idolatry is when we seek to find joy in a created thing and elevate it to an ultimate place in our lives. And I'll give you an example in just a minute. Because usually we don't even know we're doing this. It's hard for us, it's hard for our hearts to understand what is going on. So here are two idols that I have identified right here in Hudson. You guys hopefully will relate to these because I hear it from you all of the time. Here are two things that people in Hudson, Wisconsin, you guys in this area idolize or treasure, okay? When I say treasure, I'm meaning to the ultimate degree. One, success, and two is status. So first, we elevate success to an ultimate level in this community. Here's how we do this. We feel like we need to perform in school to such a level that we burn ourselves out. Like the one thing I hear from students over and over again is how overloaded you are in school. And I don't think that is because you are deceived. I think school is loading on so much more than generations before had. Second thing is parents. There is pressure that you guys can feel from your parents. Some of you have that pressure for real, and others of you, it's just a perceived thing. Sports is another thing that we feel we need to succeed. We need to push ourselves to extreme levels in order to be seen as successful. A lot of us are driving so hard because we want to get into the best colleges, best universities, and if we can't get a 5.5 GPA in school, which is impossible, then we feel like we've failed. Second thing is status. In this community, we are driven by status. How does what I'm doing make me look? Am I good enough to fit in where I want to fit in with who I want to fit in with? We see this on social media, the way we present ourselves on social media, what we post about ourselves and what we don't. Again, success and status are two major idols in this community. Now, here's what our idols are doing to us. Here's what these idols are doing to you. While we might be a high-achieving or high-performing city in Wisconsin, it has some devastating effects on you. I just heard this a few weeks ago. In our nation, students in suburban wealthy communities, that is us, you might not feel rich, but you are, students in suburban wealthy communities have significantly higher levels of stress, anxiety, depression, even more so compared to other communities, those of poor and high crime areas. Did you hear that? You guys have higher levels of stress, anxiety, depression, even more so than those who live in poor, higher crime areas. Our obsession with success and status is literally killing us. Sleep deprivation, eating disorders, depression, and ultimately suicide is killing us. And that is exactly what an idol does. It promises something and then it cannot deliver. Our idols promise something like, if you just do this, you will be successful. If you just do this, you will have a great career later in life. You will have security. You will have pleasure if you just give in to this. You'll have a beautiful wife or husband if you just use this product, whatever it is. But then our idols never follow through. They always betray us, leaving us feeling naked and ashamed. That is the ancient story that has always happened. Our idols betray us, leaving us feeling naked and betrayed. That is what happened to Adam and Eve. As soon as they said, no, God is not good, we know what is best, they were exposed, and they noticed that they were naked. That is the bad news. Now to close, the good news, true joy. Let me reread the passage. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now, it is very easy for us to see what the point of this parable is. The kingdom of God is worth sacrificing everything in order to have it. And yet there is something very interesting that I picked up on as I was reading the Jesus Storybook Bible to my daughters. You want to know something cool about this passage? You want to know what God's treasure is? God's treasure is you. And as a father of three daughters, I'm beginning to learn just how wired we as human beings are for approval. My daughters love to dance. They love throwing dance parties. They love doing art projects. They love building things, pretending. And what do they always say in those moments to me? They say, Dad, watch me. They say, Dad, look what I made for you. Do you like it? And part of what they want to know in these questions or in these statements is that their dad treasures them. They want to know that I enjoy them. In exactly the same way your heavenly Father loves you. He made you. He treasures you more than any imperfect human being treasures and loves you. And yet, in our rebellion, God just doesn't leave us there. And he does what only a good father could do because he's our creator. He has bought us back from our enslavement to sin and the devil. And he's provided a way for us to be made right. And he's given us a way to finally come home to everlasting joy. Your heavenly Father loves you. And he knows that we can't fix ourselves. He knows that we will constantly be trying to find a way to fill the hole in our hearts. And how did God purchase us back? Well, he did so by sending his Son Jesus to be our perfect and righteous payment for our sin. He's the one that buys the field so that we can be freed. He came and he was sinless. He died in our place. And then he came back to life, conquering sin and death. And because that is true, God is no longer angry at you because of your sin, the sins you have done. He's no longer angry at you for the sins you will do. You will no longer experience the wrath of God because of your sin. You will only ever experience his kind, gentle, patient grace. And he did that because you are his treasure. You are his creative masterpiece. And since this is true about God, that means that the kingdom of heaven is our treasure. Because God, our Father, loves us unconditionally, no matter what we've done or will do. The thing our heart is so desperately searching for is not a thing, it is a person. It is Jesus that we are searching for, and the kingdom is a treasure. Here's the point of this passage. The kingdom is a treasure because that's where the king is. Did you hear that? The kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is a treasure because that's where the king is, and he is inviting us into his kingdom as sons and daughters, as his adopted kids into his family. So the point is that the kingdom of God is so valuable because we have a God that is infinitely worthy of us giving up all of our idols, all of the things that keep holding us back, all of the things that we keep tripping over, all of our blind spots, all of the ways that we're just so sick of trying to prove ourselves, trying to be successful, trying to perform in such a way. We can give that up and find true joy in knowing that we have a Father who loves us unconditionally. And so we're going to close in prayer this way. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I just have a couple questions for you to think about tonight as you go into your small group. One thing I didn't say is the point of this parable is not that you can buy your way into the kingdom. So this guy that finds this treasure, yes, he buys the field, but that's not the point, is that you can buy your way into the kingdom. The point is that this guy sells everything in order to have the kingdom. So the question is Jesus worth it? Is the king who is reigning over this kingdom, is Jesus worth it to you? The question is, do you want him? Christianity is unique in that we believe in a God that is seeking for us to have the greatest amount of joy possible. And this joy is only found in knowing him and being obedient to him. So if you were to evaluate your life right now, are you really trusting in Jesus? Do you really want him right now? Or is there something else in your life that is taking his place? Is there something else that you're treasuring that you need to confess and let go of? Father God, we confess that more often than not, our hearts are prone to wander, our hearts are magnetized towards that which is fleeting, that which will not last, that will vaporize. And we confess that many of us are wasting our lives on things that are never going to satisfy us. And God, you came to this earth to show us the infinite, unbelievable glory and treasure that you are as our Creator, as our Father, and you want us to experience joy. So God, I ask that you would make us a joyful people through Jesus Christ. I pray for our time in small group tonight that you would help us to be open and honest with ourselves and go the extra step of being open and honest with our small group about where we are in our lives right now. God, I just pray for safety. I pray for an openness that can happen in small groups tonight where students can just be real with one another before you, trusting in you. So God, help us tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.